I don't know if it'll ever happen that you come to the pulpit with a message fully prepared. I came into the building tonight, and it seemed like the Lord nudged my shoulder and said, "You should have put this on in your message tonight." And then we came up and we were singing, and he said, "You ought to put this in there." And I thought, "Lord, is this going to be a series?" But it's wonderful to know the Lord Jesus. It's wonderful to be known by the Lord Jesus. I can imagine some of the most frightening words in the world to a religious person will be someday to hear the Lord Jesus say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." That's going to be a frightening thing for a lot of people, for a lot of religious people, a lot of people who thought they had the world by the tail on a downhill pull. Come to find out they didn't have anything at all for eternity. There's a difference between what we have in time and what we have in eternity. And Jesus makes it possible for us to have the very best in time and in eternity. I recommend Jesus. Well, tonight, before we take our text, I'd like to ask you a question. The most sacred place on anywhere in the world, the most sacred spot on earth, what would you guess that maybe that is? I think that there's probably differing places we might think of. I looked at some religious thoughts today and this week, and I thought about the Mosque of Omar. How many of you have heard of the Mosque of Omar? That is a mosque that's in the city of Jerusalem. I'm not sure it's the one that's on where Solomon's temple site is. I'm not sure. But it stands there and just, it laughs at Christianity. It laughs at Judaism. It laughs at the world and claims that that Islam is the victor. And to a lot of people, that's probably a very, very precious spot. And then, of course, there's Mecca in Saudi Arabia, the most famous, the most important city, I believe, to Islam that there is. I could be corrected on that, but I believe that that's accurate. Some people might think that the Mount of Olives would be a very special place, that you could just go and you could actually be where Jesus was, and you could be where Jesus is going to be, and you could walk and you could imagine the different things that transpired there and what's going to transpire there. And I'm sure that'd be a very, very precious and wonderful place. Sinai, Mount Sinai, where Jesus spoke to the people several times and said, "Take another lap around Mount Sinai till you've learned your lesson." And that could be a very, very important place, a very sacred place, a very precious place to go and visit. And certainly we pray for Jerusalem often, nearly every service we pray for Jerusalem, for peace to be in Jerusalem. And certainly that would be a very sacred spot, a very special spot for the life of a child of God. And then there's that, you know, we get a little bit, I don't know what the right word would be, but we get a little bit longing, or we get a little bit lonely, or we kind of remember the old days. And to some people, the old home place would just be a wonderful thing. The old home place in my history would be the fact that it's been all broken up into they call them ranchettes, and it's all been divided up and everything, and there's nothing that's the same as it used to be there. And so that wouldn't hold much to me, but if I could walk in the front door of my mama's house and see her working in the kitchen, and my dad there on the sofa enjoying time after he got home from work, that'd be a very precious place. That'd be a very wonderful spot to visit. And then maybe there's a church somewhere. Maybe the church you got saved in. Maybe it's a church where you dedicated your life to the Lord. Maybe it's a place where you made some fundamental decisions that changed your life for the better and caused your life to be a glory to the Lord and something that you were very pleased with. And though you're not satisfied in your Christian growth, you can go back to there and say, "That's where it started." And that would be a very precious, precious, precious place. But none of those, I think, come remotely close to being the most sacred place in all the world. Take your Bibles tonight and go to the book of Luke, chapter number 7. Luke chapter number 7. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 36. Jesus has just said, wisdom is justified of all her children. And then verse number 36, the Bible says, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down at meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto her, said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. We'll stop in our reading there. As we look at our text tonight, and we're going to look at four or five different places, we're going to discover that the Bible tells us of four different women that found the most sacred spot on all the earth, and that was simply at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot beat that for location. You cannot beat that for in any rep. You can go there from any position on the globe. You don't have to be a whiz kid to be there. You don't have to have memorized all the Bible to go there. You can just go there. I believe that to spend time at the feet of Jesus, number one, it's going to take time. We mentioned the reading and the schedule that's in here, and we mentioned that you don't have to read all that's prescribed there. If you just read any of it, you're better than if you read none of it, and I sincerely mean that. But if you're going to read all that's prescribed there, it's going to take some time. And if we're going to spend time at the feet of Jesus, enough time that we discover what these four women discovered, it's going to take some time. And then it's going to take some tenacity. It's going to take some drive. There'll be things trying to interrupt you. There'll be things trying to, you know, and this may be, no, we won't. Well, maybe, I hope I don't forget it later, but it's out of place right now. So we'll put it in down the road a little ways. As we look at these portions of Scripture, there's a major lesson in each one of these things that can really only be learned at the feet of Jesus. The most special spot, the most sacred spot on all the earth. The first we find in our text tonight, and that here's the decision we find. Here's the discovery. The discovery is that Jesus desires that we spend time with Him. Sometimes we try a lot of different ways to impress the Lord, to tell the Lord that we love him, to maybe draw from him special blessings or special grace for a situation or something. But really, I think that what Jesus is saying here, that though we're all sinners, and this woman, the Bible tells us simply, she was a sinner, verse number 37. I don't know what her sin was. I don't know if it was one individual sin or if it was a whole lot of sins. It can't be just one, because anybody who's guilty of one sin is guilty of two at least. But she's a sinner, and we're all sinners. And yet Jesus appreciated this woman being in his presence. He welcomed her. He was glad that she was there. When we spend time with Jesus, not just time in prayer, and that's important, and I'm not belittling that, but just time, just being with a friend, just time telling him how much we love him, just time telling him why we love him, just time. You can give a lot of things to people and to the Lord and never make much of an impact. But I don't believe we'll ever give time to Jesus without it making an impact in our life. And this woman learned, and so did Simon learn that Jesus wants sinners to spend time with him. And of course, he said that she is saved and so forth. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, we read these words, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Now, it's not respectable, it's not lost and saved. It's a willingness to be at the feet of Jesus. And again, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. You can't spend 15 or 20 minutes with the Lord Jesus in 5 minutes. You can't, it's going to take time. It's going to take tenacity, because there'll be a lot of things that try to interrupt you. We'll notice that in the next verse. In chapter 10 of the book of Luke, chapter 10, and we'll look at just one verse right here, two verses, verse 38. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Verse 40. "But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve thee alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Here we find that the discovery is that Jesus desires our service. Jesus wants us to work for him. He wants us to work with a bus. He wants us to work in a Sunday school class. He wants us to work with the music. He wants us to work with the broadcasting. He wants us to work. He wants us to labor. He wants us to talk to people about Jesus. But most of all, he just wants us. Amen. Most of all, he just wants us. When I said it's going to take time and it's going to take tenacity, notice the Bible says in our text that we just read about Martha, it says in verse number 40, "But Martha was cumbered." That's the only place that word is used in your King James Bible. I thought it was enormously important that God would tell us that. And it means Martha was distracted, Martha was drawn away, Martha was too busy. And doesn't that say why we don't spend more time with Jesus? We all, if we're saved, if the Holy Ghost of God lives in us, we all have these desires at times just to spend time with him, just to walk through the woods with him, just to sit at the lake with him, just to be with the Lord. But when I said we're going to have tenacity, we need to have tenacity. What was it that Martha did? Martha said she was coming about my serving, and she went and told Jesus, "Here's Mary, and all she's doing is spending time with you, and I'm left with all the work." There's 1,000 different things that'll creep up on your life when you decide you're just going to spend time with the Lord Jesus. The phone will ring. The doorbell will ring. The dog will bark. Someone will come. Some emergency will happen, and you're called away. And it takes planning. It takes time. And I think it can be done on a spur of a moment, but it can't be done in a moment. Oh, you can pick up bits and pieces of time with Jesus as you go through your day, but you'll never spend time with Jesus without spending time with Jesus. And so we find here the Bible testifies that God wants our service. He does. He does. He tells us all the time that we're supposed to labor, we're supposed to serve, and here is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. And we have all those verses telling us we're supposed to do some things for the Lord. But I guess I remember an excerpt from a message several years ago. Sometimes we think that we're just free to run around and do our thing, you know, like the buses today are. Remember when the streetcars were fastened to that stinger line up above, and if they got away from that stinger, they couldn't do anything. Now in Austria, they had those types of buses, and they'd come to the end of the line, and they'd get out and take a long wooden pole, and they'd hook that stinger down and fasten it down, and then start a diesel engine and turn the bus around and put it back into place and turn that stinger loose up on the lines again, and away they'd go. Sometimes I think we're trying to serve, but we've lost contact with the power source. And that power source will only be gained by us spending time with the Lord Jesus. The only place that walk or work come prior to worship is in the dictionary. We'll never walk right, we'll never worship right, or never work right if we're not worshiping right. Worship must always precede walk and work. The next one's found in the Gospel of John, chapter number 11. John chapter number 11, of course, the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. We go down through here, we find that, of course, Jesus is going to go visit Lazarus. He knows that he's died, and he tells his disciples before they leave the house that Lazarus is dead, and they go there. And then he's confronted by Mary and Martha, the sisters of Lazarus. In verse number 32, the Bible said, "And when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Now, this is a little bit of a different situation than the other two. Mary had chosen to sit at the feet of Jesus when he came to the house, and the sinner lady had chosen to go to a man's house and enter in, perhaps without even an invitation, and sit at the feet of Jesus. But here we find that it was a tragedy had come into her life, something that she certainly would not have voted for, she would not have asked for. Her brother's dead, and she comes, and when Jesus appears to her, the Bible tells us there in verse number 37 that that she fell down at his feet. And the Bible says that she asked him, accused him, really, "If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." And the thing that we can discover here is that the grace of God is always sufficient. It's always sufficient. Sometimes we think, Well, I don't know if I've got grace enough to get through this thing or not, but the Bible tells us that God's grace is always sufficient, and we can if we will. It's just whether or not we will. But I think that when we get to the feet of Jesus, and when she was there at the feet of Jesus, she began to realize that Jesus had not made a mistake. In his lingering, in his taking time to get there, in his not answering prayer that they sent for him and so forth, Jesus didn't make any kind of a mistake. In our deepest need and our greatest brokenness, the grace of God is always sufficient if we go to the place where his grace is given. Amen. The trial, the heartache, the suffering, and the hurt are all best taken care of at the foot of Jesus. Somebody wrote this: He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this truth shall dim. He gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. We know the story. It wasn't very long before Jesus resurrects Lazarus and tells his sisters and the other people there, loose him and let him go. And she had the answer to the heartache at the feet of Jesus. And I believe because she went to the feet of Jesus. And then in chapter 12, we find one more such lady. And I believe we probably ought to make note of the fact that these are four women. And I don't think it's accidental. Maybe they're more prone to do that. Maybe they're more prone to believe, or maybe they're more prone to think, I really do need help. Maybe they, as the weaker gender, Jesus said that they are the weaker gender, and maybe that has something to do. I don't know, but I know this. I know that every one of them discovered something special at the feet of Jesus. And then in chapter 12, verse number 3, well, we'll back up verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Here we find that the thing we discover here is that the Lord Jesus is really worth all that we have. Sometimes we try to please the Lord Jesus with our leftovers. What's left over? What's left over? I think one of the mistakes, if you look at a German calendar, you'll find that Sunday is the last day of the week instead of the first day of the week. I don't think that was accidental. I think the devil wants us to think that Sunday is the last day of the week and all we have left is leftovers. All we have to give the Lord is leftovers. But that's not true. Sunday's the first day of the week. Amen. It's the Lord's day. It's the first day of the week. And the Lord is worthy of all that we have, beginning with the best and some of everything we have and the quality of the things that we have. I wonder how often we take our life before the Lord and we tell Jesus, I don't even know what to offer you, and so I'm just giving you me, and I want to tell you, you have permission to take whatever you want to take. I'm yours because you're mine. And whatever you want from me, whatever you want for me, is absolutely yours. Beginning with the best we have and including all that we are. There's a lot of things that are bidding for our time today and bidding for our attention and bidding for our endorsement. The world offers us pleasure, honor, riches, luxury, fun, games. They promise we'll always be happy. No, you're only happy when good things are happening. When the good things quit happening, happiness goes out the window. Jesus offers us joy, unspeakable and full of glory. Satan offers us the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. But all those things are all temporal. If you lived to be 100 years old, all those things, if you had all those things, all those things you could ever desire, they're temporal, and they're going to come to an end. Jesus offers forgiveness, cleansing, satisfaction. One of the things that's wrong in Christianity today is that we don't have enough Christians that are satisfied. And by satisfied, I don't mean we feel like we've reached our place. There's no more we can do. There's no more we can grow into. There's nothing more we can add to our life of service for the Lord. But I'm talking about enjoying Jesus as we live for Him. Satisfaction, peace, purpose, power, eternal life. And you see, when we are dedicated to the Lord Jesus and life ends here, begins there, the enjoying Jesus has just started. It's just started. But I believe it'll be kind of akin to what we have here. I mentioned that God had mentioned something else on my way up to the pulpit tonight. I don't find a lot of men in the Bible that sat at the feet of Jesus, and I don't know how I overlooked this guy. He's really one of my favorite people, and I'm not sure I can find it tonight, but I'll take a peek, see, and here find out. No. The Maniac of Gadara, chapter 5, I think it is. It is chapter 5 of Mark. No, it's not in Mark. It's in Luke. Luke chapter 8, excuse me. Same story, other rendition. Luke chapter 8. You remember Jesus came across this man. He was in the cemeteries. He was cutting himself and hiding amongst the tombs and so forth. They had tried everything to take care of him, to bring him down, to control him. And society couldn't do that. Jails couldn't do that. He broke the bands, and he was driven of the devil into the wilderness, it tells us in verse number 29. But when Jesus meets him, he asks his name in verse number 30. And then we find that Jesus cast these devils out of this man. They entered into the swine, ran down violently into the sea, it says in verse number 30, and they were choked. And then those that fed the hogs, they went away and told it in the city. Verse 35, then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were affrighted. Excuse me, they were afraid. It just seemed to me like there's something when we voluntarily sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. I think there's a much greater chance of us being in our right mind. I think there's a much better chance of us clothing ourselves in a way that will please him. I think there's a much better chance of us making an impact on the people that knew us prior to our sitting at the feet of Jesus. And so the question in closing is simply this. Are you spending time? Are you being tenacious so that the people who don't understand the necessity, the importance of sitting at the feet of Jesus, when they try to interrupt you, you gently put them aside and you just tenaciously spend time with Jesus. Just because it's right, not to mention the fact that it's rewarding. The most sacred spot on earth, the feet of Jesus. Let's pray.